Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. It's Dave Bryan with SteelersDepot.com, and I'm David Todd from thehammerspeaks.com. This is the last podcast of 2011, Dave. Week 17 of the NFL. The Steelers looking for a win. 11-4 going into the last 11-4 going into the last game of the season, and a chance still to be the first, second, or potentially and most likely the fifth seed. Coming out of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, we've already got the injury report on Friday. Those come out a little bit early. We've got Doug Legursky and Mawaldi Moore ruled out, of course. That's not a surprise there. It looks like, Marquise Pouncey, Ben Roethlisberger, Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Wallace, James Harrison, Troy Polamalu all practice fully on Friday. All those guys are probable on the injury report, so it looks like Pouncey will get to start at center. We've got Chris Carter is questionable on the injury report. I'm really not expecting him to be active this week, despite him practicing fully, I think, every day this week. So they're probably saving him for special teams throughout the playoffs there if he can make it back on the field there. Looks like Trey Essex might get the start at left guard. That's kind of up in the air right now, I think. Some people are saying that's going to happen. Some people are saying that you don't be surprised if you see Kimoatu in there at left guard because Essex will be the backup center to Pouncey on Sunday. So, you know, kind of a question mark there. We'll just have to see how that plays out. For the Browns, quarterback Colt McCoy, Jordan Norwood, the receiver, and tackle Tony Pashos have been ruled out. Pat Shurmur, their head coach today, said that Artis Hicks will start at right tackle with Pashos out. They've got a few questionable guys in linebacker Kaluka Maava. Defensive lineman Scott Paxton is questionable. A bunch of probable guys, Josh Cribbs, Peyton Hillis, Sean Lavio, Owen Marsick, Muhammad Massaquoi, Dimitri Patterson, and Quentin Spears, our linebacker, all probable, all expected to play.
Yeah, nothing too interesting out of that report. That's pretty much what we expected. We've talked a lot about this stuff. We're not there with the guys every day, so when we talk about injuries, it's a lot of speculation on our part and try to stay away from too much of that. But obviously the good news for me, great to see Pouncey back in. He sounded like he's 100% confident that he's ready to go. So that's a very good sign. I personally think getting Manny Sanders back is a big deal so that he'll be available in the playoffs and we'll have had some game experience. Hopefully he can get, you know, back to 100% and contribute to the offense. The Ben thing, we've heard Gary Dulac reported at first, I think, that he's looking to get 25 to 30 snaps, so wouldn't expect to see, if everything goes according to plan, would not expect to see Ben play the second half of the game on Sunday. For the Browns, everything pretty much straightforward. There are two things that came out this week, Dave, that I'd just like to get your thoughts on. One was Ben got asked this. So, you know, when you get asked a question, it's a little different than you commenting on it and bringing it up yourself. But he got asked about Scott Paxton and said Scott Paxton didn't reach out to him, and, you know, since the injury, and obviously they've been teammates for a little while. I found that to be no big deal. I mean, you know, and then Ben said he hadn't seen the play, whether he felt that there was any intent involved. And then, you know, Ben made one of his comments, which I don't really love when he makes these comments. He said, you know, but it's me and I never get those calls. So any thoughts on that particular sequence of questioning that he went through on practice the other day?
Yeah, you know, Dave, with him and those comments, you know, Ben always likes to play the no respect card. And he wants his name to roll off the elite quarterbacks. You know, when you talk about the elite quarterbacks like the Breeze, the Bradys, the Mannings, the Rodgers, and that's just not going to happen. He's going to take his shots every once in a while like that. So those comments really didn't find disturbing or anything to be concerned about. What I found it more concerning about was, and we're fixing to talk about this with the team MVP award, he was asked about whether or not he felt slighted as far as him not getting the MVP. And his response, you know, kind of was, I don't have it here in front of me, but it was to the nature of, these guys, you know, they proved last week they can play and win without me. you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. I kind of took that as, you know, that I mean, that's not something. I mean, yeah, maybe Ben was slighted in this MVP award, but hell, any winning team that that makes it to the playoffs, really, you know, their own quarterback could be named MVP.
Yeah, so. I think that's definitely true. Look, the quarterback position is so valuable in the NFL, and it's so much more game influencing than any other position. There are very few guys on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, very few receivers or running backs who stand out. So almost by definition, your quarterback, if you're a good team, is going to be your MVP. So, I mean, what was your thought? I mean, I said basically, look, Ben should be the MVP. Ben is the MVP of this team. There's no question about it. They win without Antonio Brown. They're a playoff team without Antonio Brown. But they're not a playoff team if Ben's not the quarterback.
Maybe it should have been called the hardest working, most improvement award.
Yeah, I said it's the biggest surprise. I give it the biggest surprise award.
Now, I did write that I didn't think it was a huge surprise based on what Antonio Brown did this year. Okay, not only with his.
How do you think Mike Wallace felt?
Yeah, he probably felt slighted as too. In fact, he voted for Keenan Lewis. So, their reports came out that he voted for Keenan Lewis. Now, of course, he's childhood friends with Keenan Lewis, and I bet the rule is you can't vote for yourself. So, you know, it almost becomes like a Survivor situation.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He voted for Keenan Lewis.
Vote for the guy who you know is not going
to who you went to high school with.
Yeah, and who you know is not going to take a vote.
There you go, a guy who isn't going to hurt you in the voting.
Yeah, so, you know, this thing's a popularity contest. Much like
it's the not, though it's not a popularity contest for those guys to take that shit seriously.
Well, I know there is, but I'm saying it's a popularity contest as when it comes down to the voting, though.
No, but I don't think it is. I think those guys take that stuff seriously, and I, you know, Mike Wallace might not, but guys on the team do.
Well, I mean, come on, let's admit it. Ben's not the most liked guy in the locker room either, you know.
Right, but he's, you know, if you look at the past Steeler MVPs, they generally have been the right guy.
Yeah, without a doubt. And as somebody pointed out, this is the first time that really a non-starter has won the MVP award. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, sure. Antonio does not start on offense technically. I mean,
yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah.
I don't find it a horrible, a big, I don't know, you know, maybe that play on special teams coming up and tackling the punter was still fresh on everybody's mind from the other game.
It would be interesting if you flip the seasons backwards, if Mike Wallace would be the MVP.
Most definitely. I think it's what have you done for me lately type stuff. And let's face it, the last three or four games for Ben haven't been fantastic. Of course, he's played hurt in there and missed one of them. If he wins the San Francisco game coming out on that bum ankle, does he win the award?
Yep, he does.
Yeah, you know, maybe that, and let's look at the first game of the season against the Ravens as well. You know, he certainly not his best performance. Of course, the team as a whole didn't play good in that game anyway. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't call it an overly huge surprise. You know, if anything, I thought maybe if Ben didn't win it, Ike Taylor would win it.
Interesting. Ike Taylor probably on defense or Kiesel. Troy's won it in the past. I hadn't thought about it because the vote came out. I read it before I thought about it. So I guess the answer is, on offense, it's one of three guys, Ben Wallace or Antonio Brown. Probably Mendenhall didn't do enough to be in that conversation. And on defense, you're right, Ike Taylor, Kiesel, and then with both outside linebackers out, you know, Troy's always going to be in that conversation. But those are kind of the six guys who I imagine. And then, of course, Keenan Lewis, who got my vote as well, because he's been the dominant guy for the year. I mean, he voted for Keenan Lewis, really?
That's what he said. When I forget who asked him, if it was Cabali. I think it was Cabali that asked him, Mark Cabali. And
he should lose his vote going forward for that.
You know, so it just goes to show you that, I don't know, maybe they should call this award something. Maybe they should have an MVP and a Most Valuable Player award.
Well, they should have an MVP and Most Improved Player award, yeah.
Yeah, maybe best, you could create this thing into the Oscars or whatnot and have best musical director and best supporting role in a big play and, you know, that type of things. But it does get silly. But you almost, I mean, Alan Gifford, one of the guys who does charting work for me and all like that, asked me, you know, do you think, Mike Wallace is kind of feels slighted, right now at this point of the season because, you know, let's face it, he has not had, after a torrid start, he's been drawing all that double coverage, and without him, drawing those safeties rolling over. Antonio Brown doesn't probably have the year that he's had.
Right. No question about it. No question about it. And then, Dave, on the rookie award, Marcus Gilbert wins that. That was a pretty easy one. What is your take on the rookies that we saw this year in terms of how would you grade the rookie class just after their first season?
Well, I mean, Marcus Gilbert's contributed. You know, he deserved the award. He stepped in after game one after Willie Colon went down. Really has played well, I think. He's had, you know, he's had the rookie mistakes in there, but I really like what he's done this year. Cameron Hayward, he just hasn't seen the field a lot, you know, and that's not surprising in a 3-4 Dick LeBeau run defense. You know, I suspect next year we'll see more of him going forward, but it's not surprising how little he has played this year.
No question about Cam Hayward. With Aaron Smith probably not there to start the season, Cam Hayward will be the first guy in on the rotation, so he'll get much more time. Yep.
And then you've got Curtis Brown, absolutely a hair on fire guy on special teams. Really have to be happy with that.
I think three and four, Brown and Cortez Allen, I think the Steelers have to be elated with those picks. In terms of the feedback we've been getting, you know, we haven't seen these guys in the dime or the nickel defense very often. Curtis Brown, not at all, really. But the word, as I said earlier in the year, the word kind of around the Steelers is that these guys have done a really good job, market improvement during the course of the year, and are, you know, it would not shock me if one of those two guys isn't the starting right corner next year and the other guy is the first guy off the bench. I mean, obviously Bryant McFadden's not going to be around. And, you know, there is a chance with Keenan Lewis's improvement that, you know, William Gay is not around. I mean, Keenan Lewis has got to be in the conversation for that starting right corner job next year as well. So it's gone from a position of clearly, in my mind, the weakest position in the Steelers, their overall depth, maybe just ahead of offensive line. And now it looks like maybe it could be a position of strength next year. And who would have believed it, getting a third round pick and then a fourth round pick from a small school?
Yeah. And also if the Steelers progress as we hope they will in the playoffs, I think Cortez Allen's going to play a huge role. I don't think we've seen the last of this dime, extra corner, defense of Dick LeBeau's that we saw primarily during the Patriots game. We've seen it spots, you know, throughout the year after that. But this is the ultimate defense to run against teams like the Packers, the Saints, and the Patriots, should we progress that far. So this is a guy that can play a huge role going forward. The other rookies, Chris Carter, man, the guy just can't stay healthy. You know, had a few snaps on defense, really didn't really, you know, he's way, way behind the curve right now. Of course, you had Baron Batch, who, you know, we look forward to watching him in training camp, and next year is maybe a third down back after maybe Mualdi Moore moves on. But, yeah, you've got to be happy with the rookie class as a whole this year.
Okay, Dave, before we go to our special interview, anything we want to wrap up before the interview, and then we'll get to our picks?
Yeah, you know, Gilbert named Rookie of the Year, Antonio Brown, of course, MVP, and James Ferrier won the Chief Award, second time he's won that. The guys that vote for this in the Pittsburgh Press or Association, or what exactly is that called? Pittsburgh Chapter of the Pro Writers of America, and all vote on that. So, you know, there were some votes. I think Cabali said he voted for Casey Hampton, which kind of surprised me, but he said Casey's great with the media. But James Ferrier, hey, you know, it's hard to argue with anybody that would have been voted on. Last year Ben Roethlisberger won the award, of course, coming out of that tumultuous, you know, season of a four-game suspension and all like that.
That was a nice award for Ben to win because, you know, as we've talked about, he was not – He had been eviscerated in the media, and there's no question that he made a concerted effort last year to be a better guy, and it was nice for the media to recognize that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ferry, you know, I'm fine with it. I think there's just more fuss about the MVP award more than anything.
Yep. It just makes you wonder. Is there a little handwriting on the wall where the media said, hey, we may not have James Ferrier to talk to next year. He may not be here.
Well, there could be a little bit something to it. I think it's more politics sometimes than anything with these guys. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Ferrier's definitely a guy that might not be back next year.
All right, Dave. Well, let's. I know you had a chance earlier today, kind of spur-of-the-moment thing. You got a chance to talk to Steeler safety Damon Carmody-Smith. Great stuff there. We really appreciate him taking the time to be on. So let's throw it to the interview, and we'll come back and give our picks for the final week, week 17 of the NFL schedule. You're listening to Dave and Dave on the Terrible Podcast.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. I'm pleased to be joined on this Friday before the Steelers travel to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Browns in the final regular season game for the Steelers of the 2011 season. I am pleased to be joined by Damon Cromartie Smith, the safety special teams player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who just recently, last few weeks, activated from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. Damon, welcome to the Terrible Podcast. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks a lot, Dave. It's good to be on.
I hear you. First of all, let's get it cleared up for those that are listening. I always have pronounced it Damon, hearing some of these radio guys talk, but it's pronounced Damon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, I know the accent, it might give it a little funky deal sometimes with people as they read it, but I mean, they could just call me Damon. We could just keep it short with the DC. That's how everybody knows me around the locker room, and we could keep it like that. If they like to call me Damon, call me Damon. If DC works, that's fine.
Well, fantastic. And first of all, hey, congratulations. You've been with, you know, bouncing around on the Steelers practice squad for some time and you know, recently promoted to the 53-man roster. We've seen a lot of your work during the preseason games and all. First of all, kind of take us through the life on a practice squad and you know, kind of what your duties are week to week as a member of the practice squad before getting called up to the roster.
Well, being a member on the practice squad, I mean, all you do is really just provide good looks for the defense, or as if you're playing on the offense, you'll just provide good looks as in imitating whoever the opponent is for the week. So, you know, you'll go in there and you'll wear, say I'm playing linebacker, I'll play Ray Lewis, I'll put on number 52, and then I'll give good looks like that. It's just really just going throughout the week, preparing the opponents, you know what I'm saying, just really getting ready. Ready in the other guys and just really just, you know, showing them good looks, trying to get them ready for the game.
How many reps will you usually get in a situation like that during a practice week when you're running kind of on a scout defensive team?
As far as in the game, as far as when I go in and I play in the game, or are you saying in practice?
Yeah, just practice.
In practice, well, you're getting a lot of reps. I mean, we have periods when we do about, who knows, about 10 to 15 plays. Well, you know, they'll put it on the cards, and, you know, it's pretty routine. Everything's self-explanatory. They'll put a card up, and everybody will just do what's on the card, and then you'll have about 12 to 15 plays, really.
Now,
it'll have like three. You'll have three segments of that. So, I mean, that's how we control things.
Now, of course, you're a big part of the special teams now since being promoted to the 53-man roster and all. You posted a picture of a shirt, I guess, that special teams coach Al Evers gave y'all. Explain the meaning of the T-shirt.
I mean, you know, Coach Al, he's one of those guys. He's a real fired-up coach, and he just likes to rub that off on the players, really. So he has really a saying that he likes to – it's a short saying – he'll say, what are we going to do? And then the team will answer back. We'll say, get it up. So, you know, that's really, and he's saying, get it up, you know, get your motor going, get your mind right. You know, everybody get that fire burning, you know, because, you know, as far as special teams, we start the game off. So as far as, you know, we can start the tempo off on kickoff or kickoff return. And, you know, we know the standard is the standard, and we need to come in ready to go with our heads on fire. So he just put a saying together, which is called Get It Up, and he put that on the T-shirts for, you know, he gives one for every player, really, in the locker room, and that just really, well, what he's about.
Now, are you on punt return, too? I didn't look at the film as far as special teams over the last few weeks. You're not playing gunner, then, are you? You're mostly on the kickoff team. What spot on the kickoff team are you playing?
On the kickoff team, I'll be playing the L5. I mean, they got me playing a lot of positions out there on the special teams roster. I'm just out there just helping the team, doing whatever they need me to do. I know Coach Tomlin, he has a saying, he likes to say, the more you can do, you know. So I just try to just do whatever they ask me to do to the best of my ability.
And you have done that, too. Already three solo tackles so far, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I know there's kind of a big hole ever since Curtis Brown, you know, kind of went to IR, and you really have stepped up to fill the spot, and the special teams has been great all year for the Steelers. Now, you come from a long lineage of you know, some family members, extended family members in the NFL, because I believe your cousin is Antonio Cromartie from the Jets, and also Dominique Rogers Cromartie of the Eagles, and I believe you have don't you have another family, Terrell Smith, who plays for the Lions as well, too. So what have you learned about the NFL from all of them?
I mean, as far as all the family members in the NFL, I know that Cromartie might throw everybody off with it, but I guess this is a chance really for me to clear it up. As far as with the Cromarties, I've met them both. If there's a relation somewhere down, you know, somewhere down the river, then that's what it is. But, I mean, I've talked to them personally one time before, and there's really no relation as far as me, Antonio Cromartie, and DRC. Now, there's no relation down the line as far as that I know, but Terrell Smith was my brother, and he played fullback for about 11 years. He just retired 2 years ago, so now he's done, and he's just getting into the music business right now. So just coming up and playing football with a brother who was already in the NFL, I mean, that really just inspired me just to be great, really, and just to go out there and put everything I have into everything. So, I mean, my brother stayed on my head as far as, you know, having my grades right, and just always working hard and just working hard to get something that you want, no matter where, it's from the bottom to get to the top. So that's just really how my brother kept me focused on it.
It just goes to show you can't believe everything on the internet with Wikipedia, because they have Antonio and Dominique Rogers listed as your cousins, yeah, on there. So that just goes to show you can't believe everything you read on the internet either. So
no, not at all.
Now, you know, playing safety, are you more of a strong safety type? You know, seeing you in some of the preseason games and all like that, have you been kind of, trained as, you know, but with the Steelers safeties, as far as Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark, they're kind of interchangeable as strong and free safety. Is that kind of how you've been brought along in your time on the defense, in practice and on the practice squad?
Oh, yeah, they brought me in really just to play safety, so it really wasn't me as trying to pick a free or a strong safety. I know I'm more comfortable as playing as a strong safety as in being physical and getting down into the box and, you know, playing off that line of scrimmage. But as far as, like, I've been on the practice squad, I'll play a lot of free safety, so I'm trying to really just get good at doing that, too, you know, the more you can do. So I'm just polishing my skills, ready to, whenever they call me to come up and play, I need to be able to play the free safety or strong safety. So I'm just trying to improve my skills throughout practice and practice squad.
It must be incredible to play with a guy like Troy Polamalu, a guy that's probably easily destined for the Hall of Fame one day after he retires. Hopefully it's no time soon. But, you know, what have you learned from Polamalu with your couple of years on the Steelers?
Oh, I mean, I learned a lot from Troy and Ryan. Ryan Clark, he's a great veteran, a great veteran leader guy, you know, and I just really just try to fall in between both of their footsteps. And whenever they have any type of advice to tell anybody, you know, I'll go up and I'll ask them, and they're real good on giving me advice on, as being a young guy, is where I need to be and at all times as far as on the field and off the field. And Troy, you know, he keeps my mind ready, and he always lets me know that I'm doing a good job on practice squad, and then just showing good looks and just always being able to get out there and do double the work.
And you're a real physical player, what we've seen in the preseason games over the years. I was really impressed. I think it was two years ago in preseason, you lowering your head. I think you caused a fumble in one of those games as well, too. And, you know, as far as keeping your physicality up, with you know, kind of lower reps during the week as opposed to the starters and all like that, I suppose you know your conditioning and all like that. Can you tell us a little bit about what you go through every week as far as conditioning?
Oh, as far as conditioning, I'll go through after my regular week of practice. I'll still do all the as far as when I was on practice squad, I was doing defensive reps. I'll do I do the offensive scout looks, the defensive scout looks, and I do the special team scout looks. So it really just gets me in real good shape to be able to go 100% on every play that I need to do when I'm out there playing special teams in the game. So, I mean, I work real hard in practice, so in the games it's a lot easier.
You know, being coached by Dick LeBeau, that's got to be just incredible. The guy is almost like, I tell you, even us fans, he just seems like the soft-spoken guy that has the players' respect and gets his point across, along with being just a defensive genius. You know, fill us in a little bit on Dick LeBeau.
Coach LeBeau, he's great. He's one of those guys, he speaks softly and he carries a big stick. So, you know, he's really daddy to all of us out there. You know, like, we're some big kids, you know, guys, sometimes they get out of hand, we'll get a little immature, get a little playful, you know, but when it's time for LeBeau to speak or anything, if he has something to say, everybody's quiet, everybody listens, and everybody's tuned in. So just being able to be coached under a guy like Dick LeBeau is just a blessing to me. And, I mean, hopefully that rubs off on me, and I could just use that to my advantage under all his coaching and stuff, and I could just use that to my future.
How fast are Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown? I know you're probably just as fast now. So I don't want to take anything away from you and your speed, but what's it like going against those guys in practice?
Oh, going against those guys in practice is – It's real intense. I mean, I'm lining up at free safety. I'm getting about 15 yards deep, 15 to 20 yards deep on these guys because they're so fast and coming off the line, they can eat up your cushion really fast. So, I mean, just being able to play and practice with those guys, it just really gets you ready for anything really as far as what the opponent can bring, because when we're out there, we're guarding everything. We got speed. We got everything. Those guys can do anything on the field, and it really just improves our skills in practice.
What is the mentality in the locker room right now? You know, starting off at the beginning of the season, there was all the talk once again about how old the Steelers' defense is. But when you look at what they've, you know, done as far as not allowing explosive plays, not allowing teams into the end zone and all right now, you know, it looks like we're going to be 100% healthy come playoff time with Lamar Willis, who's probably going to sit out this week, but it's probably going to be ready for the playoffs. What's the mentality right now of that defense in the locker room?
The mentality of the defense is really just, you know, holding guys to as few points as we can and just putting our offense in positions to win. You know, Coach Tomlin, he does a great job of not making some of these games a big deal or not really blowing them up like, you know, they really are. You know, we just take it one week at a time. So just coming in as a defense, our mentality is really just to hold the opponent as less points as we can, and hopefully it's a shutout.
Yeah, I agree. And the Steelers defense has two shutouts this year, the most recent coming this past Saturday as well. Well, Damon, I tell you, we are just proud as punch for you, you know, kind of following you these last 2 years. Tell us what it was like when you heard the news that you were going up to the 53-man roster a few weeks ago.
Oh, I mean, this whole journey to me trying to get out there and help my team win has been a long one. I mean, it was a blessing for me to get called up. I was waiting on an opportunity to present itself, and when it presented itself, I just had to make sure that I was ready to deliver. So it's just a blessing, and it feels great to be out there and actually help these guys win a game.
Without a doubt, and you're doing a great job on special teams. Keep up the good work there. We'll be watching you Sunday against the Cleveland Browns there. And for those that don't know, Damon is on Twitter as well now, too. He only has 643 followers, so we need to fix that. So if you're listening to the podcast today, and I'm going to post this on the post along with the podcast when I get it up, it's at Crow Smith, CROSMITH. So make sure to follow him on Twitter and make sure you're following him in the game as well, too, as they take on the Cleveland Browns this week. Damon, thanks for taking the time today on and spending it with us on a terrible podcast. And best of luck to you the rest of the season. And let's go get the Steelers at number 7 Lombardi Trophy.
All right, thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate it, and much love to all my fans and Steeler Nation out there. I appreciate the love.
Welcome back, Dave. Great stuff. Nice interview with Damon Cromartie Smith. Appreciate him taking the time here to be on the Terrible Podcast. And you can follow Damon on Twitter at Crow Smith, C-R-O Smith. And look forward to seeing his tweets and what's going on in his life come on up here as the playoffs. We'll take us into the playoffs on Monday. We've got, Dave, we've got our last week of picks, a full slate of games, some tremendously meaningful, some not so meaningful. As everybody knows, the Steelers have gone. They flexed the schedule. So the Steelers and the Ravens-Bengals game will both be played at 4:15. They didn't want either team to have a competitive advantage, and really the competitive advantage would have worked toward the Bengals had the Steelers lost. Were the Steelers to lose at 1 o'clock to the Browns, that could leave the Ravens with no incentive to play their starters, rest everybody. So they didn't want that to happen. So they've gone ahead and put both those games and a lot of other games with meaning, including the Denver-Kansas City game and the Oakland-San Diego game, all at 4:15. So a big slate of games. And, of course, the 8 o'clock or 8:20 game is the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys for the NFC East. And my only comment about that division is enough with the frickin' hype about how good those teams are. And those are four teams that were certainly three teams that were huge expectations coming into the season. Doesn't mean that, you know, whoever wins this game won't be somewhat dangerous in the playoffs. If they get good quarterback play, each of those teams can be pretty good. But clearly, in my mind, Dave, the best division in football, if it's not the AFC North, it's the NFC North. And I think it's I think the AFC North has a pretty solid case.
AFC North, you know, even the Bengals have made it close this year, and that's going to be interesting, the game to watch. It's funny how it comes down to that game to decide so much of seedings and the Bengals' fate to make it into the playoffs.
Yep, and just one last time for anybody who doesn't know exactly how this thing works, the Steelers will be the number one seed if they win and Baltimore and New England lose. The Steelers will be the number two seed if they win, Baltimore loses, and New England wins. And the Steelers will be the number five seed if Baltimore wins, regardless of what the Steelers do. So that's kind of the scenario, and let's get into our picks. The first game on the board, a meaningless game, probably looked like it might have some meaning to start the season. NFC East, the Eagles hosting the Redskins, laying 8.5.
Eagles, you know, Andy Reid needs to make a statement here in this final game somehow, some way. So, you know, I'm seeing I can lay as low as 8 on this. So give me the Eagles, lay the 8.
Yeah, these games are tough to know exactly what's going on. I think the players like Andy Reid. I think they'll go out and play hard. They don't have a postseason. You expect regulars to play most of the way. So I'll go with you on that. Atlanta's laying 11 to Tampa Bay. Now, this game does matter. People were curious, and we'll get to the Detroit-Green Bay line in a little bit, but people were very curious about why these lines have moved around a bit. Everybody in the NFC, meaning everybody, Atlanta and Detroit, both would much prefer to be the fifth seed rather than the sixth seed and have to go to San Francisco or New Orleans to play that first-round playoff game. So I think the Falcons probably really try to take care of business here early at home in the Dome. Tampa's going to have their whole coaching staff fired, if not immediately upon the final whistle, certainly by the next morning. I expect the Falcons to blow them out.
Yeah, Falcons at home. Let's see. Can anybody increase their seed over there, though? The Falcons can't, can they?
Yeah, no, the Falcons in Detroit are playing. Did you not listen to what I was just saying?
Yeah,
just,
I did, but I hadn't read that they could increase their seeding there.
Well, so I mean, it's either going to be the fifth seed or the sixth seed. They're both in a wild card, but one's going to be 5, one's going to be 6.
Okay, well, yeah, you know, Atlanta at home, regardless, if they're playing their starters all this game, there's absolutely no way that they lose the game. And let's see, if I can lay, you know, I'm seeing 11. What are you seeing?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, I'd lay that 11.
San Francisco is going to St. Louis. They're laying 10.5. Again, San Francisco has something to play for with the home field. So I think they win this game. I haven't seen whether Sam Bradford's in. I don't think the Rams are quite as bad as they appeared last week. This last game at home, I'm kind of tempted to take the 10.5 here, Dave.
I am too. You know, I don't know why. I mean, St. Louis is at home. I believe that they sold out the stadium, like the team bought the rest of the tickets or something crazy like that to ensure they had a sellout and all. The 49ers offense sometimes does not, you know, they don't put points up. So for that reason alone, I think they'll definitely win this game. But 10.5 is mighty enticing.
Chicago, Minnesota. We saw the kid come in for Christian Ponder last week, and his name's totally escaping me. What's his name?
Webb.
Yeah, Joe Webb came in, did a great job. He's done a great job in relief a couple times, although his career stats aren't particularly good. He's looked good in a game and a half. They've got the Bears. The Bears are beat up. The Vikings are laying a point and a half. You know, Josh McCown didn't look so bad last week. Does Minnesota take care of business at home or no?
I would be tempted to take the Bears in this game. You know, I think I can get 2 points in this game. I'm with you. I think the McNown didn't look as bad. I kind of worry about the Vikings without AP now. Just kind of mailing it in on Leslie Frazier the last game of the season. So give me the Bears plus 2 points. Hopefully this climbs to 2.5 by game time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take the Bears as well. Okay, here's the line everybody's been talking about. It opened Green Bay -3. They took care of business. Now that Detroit wants to win this game so they can be the 5 seed rather than the 6 seed, what are the chances they go into Lambeau and win this game? They're a 3-point favorite now going into Lambeau. Green Bay has nothing to play for. Aaron Rodgers probably isn't going to play more than a half, although the kid who's been their backup has looked pretty good in the little bit of time that he's played so far this year. Is Detroit going to go in and win this game in Lambeau?
Yes, they are. And Rodgers might not. There's word coming out. He might not even play at all in this game. And, yeah, Matt Flynn, okay. Yeah, whatever. But he's no Aaron Rodgers. So there won't be a lot of discount double checks in this game, I don't think. So give me Detroit. They want to prove they can beat them regardless of who's in there. So give me Detroit, lay the points.
Okay. You know what, Dave? I'm gonna take your advice on that one. And I may do that as well. The next one is the big game. Let's come back to that because we'll stay on the 1 o'clock games. Carolina goes to New Orleans. Now this is an interesting game. Cam Newton has had certainly a season for the record books. One of the greatest rookie seasons by a quarter, maybe the greatest rookie season by a quarterback, or maybe by a rookie. Certainly by statistical standards, the team's done better lately. I think they've won 4 of their last 5. He has shown that, you know, with another year under his belt, if that team gets a couple of high draft picks, they could really become a force. That division could be, the best in football next year with the Saints and the Falcons and Carolina. They go into New Orleans. The Saints need to win this game to keep the number one or to keep the 2 seed. So they're laying 8. Is this another game where Drew Brees is going to put up 35 and the defense will give up 24? Or are they going to give up 27?
The Panthers on offense are fine, as you said. It's their defense is just god-awful, you know. So that being said, Greg Williams is going to be throwing the kitchen sink at Cam Newton, I think, in this game. Newton will make a couple mistakes, kind of some forced errors, as you call it. So, I think I can lay 7.5 in this game. So give me the Saints and lay the points.
It's
loud as hell in that Superdome.
Yeah, game. Yeah. I'm basically with you. I think it'll be a high scoring game, but I'll go 42-27. I think Drew Brees will make sure he keeps that record. I think Sean Payton won't let Tom Brady catch him. So I think they'll want Drew Brees to put up 250 yards and make sure he has that record kind of salted away. Just going back to the Rams game that we were talking about. Not only is that going to affect the 2 and 3 seeds, that's certainly going to affect the Rams' overall draft pick, where they draft 1, 2, 3, or some other point. And there's a lot of word that the performance in that game may impact whether Steve Spagnuolo is going to be the coach next year. So we've got some games that maybe don't appear so meaningful on the outside that are pretty meaningful. So Tennessee then goes into Houston. And we've got all sorts of issues with Houston now. But Andre Johnson looks like he'll be back this week. The Titans have nothing to play for. The Titans are a 2.5-point favorite, Dave. This might be my favorite game on the board, Dave. I think I'm going to take Houston plus the points at home and think they smoke them.
I'm with you on this. And for the sheer fact that Houston is playing at home, the crowd's going to be ramped up and all. This is still a division game. Keep that in mind. Tennessee has done some good stuff this year late in the season, but I think it's too little too late. I think the Houston defense is just going to stifle them in this game. So, give me Houston plus the points. I think they win it outright.
Yeah, and Tennessee doesn't run the ball that well. You know, they don't defend the run that well, and I expect Houston to be able to run the ball all over them. So, I think they missed on that line. I think that line should be flipped, as a matter of fact. I think Houston should be a couple-point favorite, so we'll see how that goes. Now, the Ravens and the Bengals, we got one more 1 o'clock game, and that's Indy at Jacksonville. Again, semi-meaningless game, but the first pick in the draft is going to be determined somewhat by this outcome. The Jags are a 3.5-point favorite, Dave, so I'm going to go against everything in the book here and take the Colts plus 3.5.
I'm not. I think there's no way they win that game and lose out on that first-round draft pick, at least I don't think. So, this is dangerous for Vegas, for sure, with a team in a situation like that. I'm taking Jacksonville laying the points.
Okay, I was incorrect about that. We got a couple more 1 o'clock games. Miami's hosting the Jets. That line's moved from 1 to 3. Miami's the favorite. A little bit surprising to me, Dave, because the Jets have a chance to make the playoffs. They need to win this game. They have incentive to, you know, play hard and go out there and win. I've been a big favorite of Miami, a big fan of the Dolphins here the second half of the season. Matt Moore is a guy who I've always thought was pretty good, and he's had a reasonably good season here. I got to take the Jets. They didn't look good last week at all against the Giants, but I got to think they go down to Miami. I'll take the 3 points. I think there's a chance. I think they win this game.
No Reggie Bush from Miami either. This is kind of weird I know Dolphins are at home and all like that, but come on. I mean, this is a game the Jets have to have. I'm with you. Give me the Jets plus the points. I think they win this outright.
New England is a 10.5-point favorite against Buffalo. I don't know how the tiebreaker between New England and Baltimore works. Is there a scenario where Baltimore could be the one seed or no?
New England would have to lose and Baltimore would have to win, right?
Well, right, and the Steelers could be the one seed. So, yeah, okay, so the game has some meaning for the Patriots. There's this whole this whole intrigue surrounding Tom Brady and his right shoulder and whether he's healthy or not. There was a great line today from after the Patriots practice. One of the reporters asked Bill Belichick what Tom Brady was able to do in practice, and Bill Belichick's response was play quarterback.
Yeah.
So standard Belichick ease there. 10.5, Dave, is that enough?
First of all, Sal Marinara, one of the Buffalo beat writers, sent a tweet out to the Boston media. He said, to my friends in the Boston media, I seriously don't know how you tolerate dealing with Belichick every day. What a miserable cuss.
Wow.
And this is from the writer from the Buffalo News, I believe. But, yeah, you know what? Buffalo beat him the first time around, and you know, I know this is in New England and all like that. I know Buffalo has been uninspiring. I think on our very first podcast this year and picks, I said Buffalo's going to beat some teams this year that they probably shouldn't. I'm not saying they win this game, but I'll be daggum. Give me those 11 points I can get.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I are both high on Buffalo, and one of the things they have had a ton of injuries as well. They lost Fred Jackson. They lost a lot of guys on both sides of the ball. So the second half has been a struggle. Ryan Fitzpatrick got the 6-year, $59 million contract and immediately started throwing the ball to the other team. So it's been a tough go the second half. But, yeah, I like it. I like it at 11. I think, you know, we know the problems in the New England defense has had. So I'll take 11 points there and see how it goes. Then we get to the 4:15 games. That Falcons Tampa Bay game was a 4:15 game. We already did that. But the other 4:15 games, we got San Diego at Oakland. Oakland's playing for the chance to win the division. San Diego absolutely shit the bed last week in Detroit after a great performance in Baltimore. So this is clearly the most Jekyll and Hyde team in the NFL. But, you know, when they play the Raiders, that's a big game for them. I expect them to win this game. They're getting 3. Give me the points, and I'll probably go on the money line as well.
San Diego, man, how can Oakland be favored in this game, really? I mean, I know San Diego has been up and down all year, but San Diego needs and wants this game, even though this might be it for Norv Turner. I think they come out a winner in this game. If they don't, it's going to be a busy Black Monday anyway. But it won't be enough probably to save Norv Turner's job. But give me San Diego straight up. I mean, to win this game, I'll take the points.
Yeah, Norv Turner's gone. Kansas City at Denver. The Broncos, 3.5-point favorites at home. I have no idea what to think of this game. We have seen Kansas City all over the map. They've been relatively good defensively all year, all over the map offensively. But with Kyle Orton at quarterback, they're a better offense. They are You know, I wouldn't say they're a dangerous offense, but they're a team that can score some points. Jesus, Tim Tebow. I mean, Jesus, tell me what Tim Tebow's going to do. because it's some crazy stuff. He has been god-awful the past 2 weeks.
Oh, another pun. I like it.
So I got to tell you, I'm going to take the Chiefs plus 3.5. But, hey, you know, for the Steelers, if they have to go out west, I would prefer to go to Denver rather than Oakland. I think the Steelers, you know, beat either team. I think they're a 7-point favorite against either team, even on the road. And they haven't been a good, maybe a 6-point favorite. They haven't been a good road team. But, for whatever reason, I'd rather play Denver than Oakland. But I'm going to take the Chiefs in this one.
Only Jesus can make Kyle Orton versus Tim Tebow the marquee matchup of week 17. Orton just not enough time in that offense, I don't think. I mean, the Denver defense, I think, is going to play well enough in this game. They know a lot more about Orton, I think. Tim Tebow will just do just enough in this game or not do just enough. Take that however you want to. Denver wins this game, and this has push written all over it with the 3 points. If I can lay 2.5, I'll do it. Other than that, I'm staying away from this game.
So I got 3.5, so that's why part of the reason I'm taking it. I like the 3.5. The Arizona-Seattle game. Seattle goes to Arizona. In week 4 of this season, Kevin Cobb was not playing well. Seattle was terrible offensively. These are two teams that really look like they might finish 4-12. So big ups to their coaching staff, Pete Carroll and his guys, and Ken Wisenhunt and the other guys, for getting both of these teams on the right track. With a couple breaks in a couple games, both these teams realistically could be kind of 9-6 right now, but they're not. They're 7-8, but that's a far cry from where they were starting the season, and it's much better. So one of these teams is going to finish at .500. Marshawn Lynch is my new favorite player, my player du jour, and I like Seattle a lot, but I actually think going on the road, it's going to be a little too tough for them. The 3 points, again, this is a game that looks kind of pushy for me. I don't know that I'll bet this game, but between you and I would take Arizona.
You would take Arizona and lay the points, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points at home.
You know what? I like the beast mode. I really like what Seattle's doing and the way their defense has come around and responded this year. So I think their secondary's better as long as they don't make any stupid mistakes like they – boy, Seattle, boy, they gave that game away to the 49ers last week on that Jackson fumble and all like that. So you know what? Give me Seattle plus the points here. I think Seattle can win this game outright.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for them. As you talked about their secondary, Earl Thomas getting the Pro Bowl nod. They got a good defense and good secondary. And, you know, Pete Carroll doing a better job up there than he did in New England. So, in New England, right? Yeah.
Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
Oh, hell, he's Jets, New England.
Yeah, Jets and New England, right. Then we got the two games that matter for the Steelers. Baltimore's at Cincinnati, Dave. I'm surprised this line's two. I'm really surprised they didn't make it a pick'em line. Baltimore's laying the 2 points. I'm going to go with my heart here, and I think the Bengals are going to win this game.
This, we've talked all couple weeks here how Cincinnati can win this game. Baltimore's got some key injuries rolling into this game. This game is in Cincinnati. Yada, yada, yada. You know what? As optimistic as I want to be, David, you got a rookie quarterback in his biggest game of his career right now. He's going to make a mistake in here. Baltimore covers easily, in my opinion. I think this is, 10-point game. Baltimore wins.
Wow, okay. Well, we're on different sides there. I guess, I'd like to take the emotion out of it, and maybe I'd look at it differently. But I'll be rooting for Andy Dalton. I think, he's had a great year. Really fun to see. Look, everybody knows we're as big Steeler fans as anybody, but it's fun to see good young players, and Andy Dalton and A.J. Green are good young players, and I'm excited that A.J. Green made the Pro Bowl. Good for him, and let's see if they can get it done on Sunday and help the Steelers out. Then, Dave, the 8:30 game, the Giants are hosting the Cowboys. The Giants are a 3-point favorite. Eli Manning and Tony Romo, two guys who engender more conversation about whether they're good or not than any two players maybe in NFL history. I never would have said this even 6 weeks ago, and going back further than that, no chance. But I think Eli's good, and I think the Giants win this game.
I think Giants win this game, too. I think it does fall all on Eli here not to make any crucial mistakes in this game. I think the Giants defense is going to really harass Tony Romo. He's got that banged-up hand and all like that. I think Giants can win this game, and I think Giants could be a team that kind of surprisingly ends up somehow maybe in the, depending on if the road goes through Green Bay or not to get to the NFC Championship game, they could make a little noise.
There's no question if they go to San Francisco that I think they can win that game. Nobody's going to win in New Orleans.
I'm not prepared to say that, but regardless, I think the Giants win this game, and I think they cover.
All right, good stuff. Well, Dave, that's going to wrap up week 17 of the NFL. It's our last regular season podcast. Anything you want to throw out there as we close it, and we'll be back.
I think we should pick the Steelers Cleveland game, shouldn't we?
Oh yeah, how about that game?
You know that team with the black helmets and the gold and the.
They get the logo on all three sides.
Yeah, something like that.
Holy cow! Yeah, maybe we should do that game. All right.
With the fans wave them dish towels.
The orange ones, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So here we go into Paul Brown Stadium, 4:15 on Sunday. Ben looking to play 25 to 30 snaps. The Steelers.
Paul Brown Stadium. Where the hell are they playing at? Cleveland.
Good God. I'm in Vegas. I'm losing my mind.
Holy shit, dude!
I want to get down to the table.
Okay. How about Cleveland Municipal Stadium?
Cleveland Municipal Stadium, Paul Brown, Cleveland Browns, it's been a long weekend. It's Friday afternoon right now.
And I'm the one that takes the drugs.
So here we go, into Cleveland, 4:15 kickoff. Ben playing 25 to 30 plays. Let me see. The Steelers, if they get out of this game healthy, you could probably make an argument that they could go into the playoffs as healthy as they've been since very early in the season. Ben's still going to have an ankle issue. There's no question about that. And Lamar Woodley's the only other guy, kind of key guy. But Mawelde Moore is another guy on the list. But could be relatively healthy coming into the game. How do the Steelers play this game, Dave, in terms of Mike Tomlin? Is it, look, there is the only objective on Sunday is to win this football game. We're going to win this game basically at all costs. And we're not going to worry about injury or anything else, or do you take a different attitude going in?
Herm Edwards said it best. You play to win the game. You play to win the game. Okay, that being said, this will be the ultimate game that will have Steeler Nation all up in arms like we've never seen it all season. I know that's hard to believe. Ben's going to play most of this game, if not all of it. That's another thing that'll irate people. The Steelers will win this game. They will not cover. 20-16 Steelers over Browns.
I really like conceptually where you are there. I don't think it'll be quite that close, but we've seen the Steelers not play the Browns very well in Cleveland years and years and years in a row. We saw them not play very well against Cleveland at home.
They did blow them out last game of the season last year, but...
They did blow them out. You're right. They did shut them out, blow them out, whatever that was. But I haven't seen a line up here right now. It's
trickling in at 7 at various places here.
Yeah, that sounds like about the right number to me. Give me the Steelers here in this one, and give me the win goes to the defense here as they shut down Seneca Wallace, maybe get some turnovers. They're due for some turnovers, but you'd like to see them get some turnovers. They haven't had a lot this year. I'm going to go Steelers 23-10, and I'm going to also just throw in there that I think you'll see Ben in the third quarter. I think you'll see Ben play a little bit more than we're led to believe here in these 25-30 snaps.
Yeah, once you get him in there, he ain't going to want to come out of this game, I don't think. So they'll be scoreboard watching, too. If you look up at the scoreboard, you see Baltimore with a 31-3 or 31-10 lead in the first half or something like that. I think you start yanking people out of this game right and left. But I don't know. I got a feeling it's a close game. Steelers win, but it'll be something to bitch about.
All right, so let me now see if we're about where we're supposed to be as we wrap up our final terrible podcast of the regular season. Anything to throw out there?
Yeah, one quick thing. We've gotten a few emails sent to the show. We've got a guy, I guess I heard about, and we posted the article. Great article, by the way, on that situation over in Africa and Steeler Nation. Want to thank them once again for sending that along. I got that posted up on Steelers Depot as well. We have a listener, Steve. Hi, I enjoy listening to your podcast from Israel. It's not only Steeler Nation. They are an international fans, too. Keep up the good work and go Steelers. So we are reaching further and further into international, David. So
yeah, we love it. We love those emails.
They're gonna appreciate you for getting that the Steelers played the Browns this week and they're doing it at Paul Brown Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. So keep sending those emails for us. We love to hear from people all over the globe who are listening, and certainly appreciate you taking the time to shoot us an email. Dave, just one other little note. As we've seen records fall this year, we saw Drew Brees break the passing yardage record. Tom Brady's going to break it as well. Aaron Rodgers won't because he's not playing probably. But Darren Sproles needs 163 all-purpose yards on Sunday to break the NFL all-purpose yardage record, which I'm sure, you know, we talk about records when they happen, but in the NFL isn't all about stats and records like baseball is, much more that way. I'm sure you don't know, well, you may know, but I'm sure most of our listeners don't know who holds the current record for all-purpose yards. Do you have any idea?
Oh, I'm trying. You caught me off guard with that one, so
well,
I don't know.
That's how I'd like to catch you.
Yeah, geez, I don't know. I would just be guessing. And
all right. Well, I would not have gotten this right, but in the year 2000, Derek Mason, 2,690 yards as the starting receiver for the Tennessee Titans and the primary kick returner. And Dave, and all this makes me think about is with 25-28 for Darren Sproles, is this is the type of this record. Antonio Brown could break this record if he stays in the as the Steelers kick and punt return guy. Because he's not all that far behind.
Yeah, most definitely. I do think I know that Derek Mason broke the record. Wasn't it Michael Lewis that had it before that? The beer man, wasn't he the guy that that held the record? St. Louis Rams.
Got me. I don't know.
Anyway, I think Michael Lewis was the guy that beat him, or that Mason had beat, but that jarred my memory there. So, yeah, thanks for that. Darren Sproles and Drew Brees tearing it up for the Saints. That should be enough to get AJ Smith fired as the Chargers GM enough right there, right?
Yeah.
letting both those guys go, you know. And what about the Dolphins and the medical staff that said that they shouldn't take a chance on Drew Brees?
Yeah, they're not too happy about that. But we digress. Let's close it up here because I got somewhere to be. It is episode 63 of the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. Again, thanks for being with us all regular season. Hopefully the Steelers get a win, get some benefits in Cincinnati, and get a week off. Otherwise, I will be the man on the scene in Oakland or Denver. Come, it looks like Saturday night may be that first game. And we'll have some playoff stuff to talk about come Monday, Dave. You want to close us out?
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at Steelers Depot, at Terrible Podcast, at Hammer Speaks. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. We appreciate everybody for listening.